Please turn in your Bibles now, if you would, to 1 Chronicles 16. You'll notice 1 Chronicles 16:5, Asaph the chief, and the second to him, and then a list of other Levites. And they are with musical instruments, verse 5 tells us. And we have harps, lyres, the musical instruments of the Levites, and also Asaph played loud-sounding cymbals. And then at the end of 1 Chronicles 16, beginning with verse 39, David is being spoken of here. He left, that is, David left, Zadok, the priest, and his relatives, the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord, in the high place which was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering continually, morning and evening, even according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. With them were Haman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his loving kindness is everlasting. And with them were Haman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those who should sound aloud, and with instruments for the song of the Lord, and the sons of Jeduthun for the gate. Then all the people departed, each to his house, and David returned to bless his household. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word. Amen. If you were to look at an aerial photograph of the city of Jerusalem, the most prominent feature you would see in that city would be the Dome of the Rock, that golden dome of a mosque that sits on the Temple Mount. 2,000 years earlier, if possible, going back to take a similar aerial photograph, you would not see in that prominent position, that golden dome, but in that same location, you would see the temple of God. That would be the prominent feature in such an aerial photograph. And the temple certainly was the focal point for all of Israel. All of the people would come at the designated times to worship God in the temple. And they would come by the thousands. And by that coming up to the Temple Mount, to the tabernacle first, and then the temple, they would show their separateness from the world and their sanctification to God. And in that temple, they would bring their sacrifices. They would hear the trumpets sound and the cymbals clash. And they would hear the Levitical choir sing. And there they would get a taste of the sacrifice and the proclamation and the praise of God in that central location, which was so vital and so important to Israel. In a similar way, you, on the Lord's Day, come, and you show your separateness from the world by joining together as a body to think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to hear the proclamation of the word, and to sing the praises of God. And all of this is vitally involved in your sanctification. As I say, the separateness from the world that you enjoy. And so the point I want you to get this morning, and the point I hope you will see this morning from the message, is that your sanctification involves the proclamation and the praise of Jesus Christ, who is your sacrifice in your corporate worship. You're involved in proclamation and praise of Jesus Christ in corporate worship. And all of this is involved in your sanctification. And that's the idea that I want you to get this morning as we look at our text in 1 Chronicles 16. And the first thing that we get is that the center of worship was the temple, earlier the tabernacle. But the center of worship was the temple. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Chronicles 16 and verses 39 and 40. He left Zadok the priest and his relatives, the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place, which was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering. See, there we have it. The tabernacle, and in this text, the tabernacle was at Gibeon. But of course, later, God displayed to David that the place where the tabernacle of God and the temple was to be built was the Temple Mount on Zion. And the tabernacle is what? The special dwelling place of God. The place where God chose to come and tabernacle to dwell with His people. And there, God would come in His glory. We see this in Exodus. And then when the temple was dedicated, God came in His glory. And there, the sacrifices were presented on the altar of burnt offering. And the people would enter into the presence of God through the sacrifice. This was part of the idea in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. And surely this is the case with you, is it not? How is it that you enter into God's presence? What did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. How do you come into the presence of the Father? It is through Jesus Christ. It is through His sacrifice. And you are here this morning, praise be unto God, and I am able to be here this morning. Why? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of entering into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You see, the principle is exactly the same as that in the Old Testament. Well, what else do we have here? The trumpets and the cymbals, the harps and the lyres, and the songs of praise were all integral parts of the service of God. Look at again at our text, if you will, beginning with verse 39. He left Zadok the priest and his relatives the priest before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place which was at Gibeon to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering continually morning and evening, even according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which He commanded Israel. There we have it. Here's the tabernacle, and later the temple. And where are the sacrifices performed? On the altar of burnt offering, there in the tabernacle, and later in the temple. They all go together. And with them, And with them, the text goes on, were Haman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because his loving kindness is everlasting. With the priests who are offering sacrifices in the tabernacle and later in the temple, with them are the Levites who are to sing before the Lord. So the Levitical choir is there, you see, and the altar is there, and the priests are there offering their burnt sacrifices on the altar. And the song of the Lord, as we have said before, is an integral part of this system. And then verse 42, and with them were Haman and Jeduthun with trumpets and cymbals for those who should sound aloud, and with instruments of song of the songs of God, and the sons of Jeduthun for the gate. And so the instruments were there also. The instruments that were used, the trumpets that were blown over the sacrifice, the cymbals that were clashed, the harps and the lyres that accompanied the singing of the Levites, they were all present there too. They were all part of a system that went together. Now, I think this is not only interesting, but it's rather important. This is just like, I would submit to you, the fact that prayer and praise and the proclamation of the word are all integral parts of the worship of God in which we engage week by week. We don't say, do we? Well, we're going to praise over here. You do that before you come. And then we're going to pray over here. We've got separate rooms for prayer, so we'll come over here and we'll pray. And then we'll come in here together for the proclamation of the word, as though all of these things were separate. No, they're not separate. They're all integral parts of the service of worship. And so it was in the Old Testament. All of these things were integral parts of the worship of God. And we must understand them in this light. And so, what do we have then? The symbol, and of course this is one of the things you saw from the title that I wanted to get at, the symbolism of the symbol. The symbol, standing with the trumpets, symbolized, and I think this is the case, the proclamation of the word in connection with the sacrifice. Now I want you to see a couple of things from the text. Look, if you would, at verse 42 in 1 Chronicles 16. With them were Haman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those who should sound aloud. The Levites were in charge of taking care of all the implements and vessels and instruments of worship in the tabernacle. And so this is why Haman and Jeduthun are mentioned here. And the trumpets and the cymbals are mentioned together. Do you notice that? And with them were Haman with trumpets and cymbals for those who should sound aloud. In other words, there were those in the service who were designated to blow the trumpets. And we saw this when we looked at Numbers 10:10, that the priests were to blow the trumpets over the sacrifice. And then there were others who were designated to clash the cymbals or to strike the cymbal if it was one cymbal that was hanging, as it were, in a rack and struck like a gong. At any rate, such would be the case. And so there were those who were designated to sound aloud. And then, you notice in verse 42, there were also the instruments for the songs of God, the instruments for the songs of God, which were a little different. What were they? The harps and lyres. We're going to talk about those on another occasion, the Lord willing. And so there's a little distinction made between the cymbals and the harps and the lyres. If you go back to verse 5 of chapter 16, you notice something else about the cymbals. It says at the end of verse 5, they were loud sounding cymbals. And you would get this, wouldn't you? The crash of the cymbals. Not a small sound, but a loud sound. And the word that is translated in the New American Standard, loud sounding, actually means the announcing cymbals, the proclaiming cymbals, the cymbals that make proclamation, similar to the trumpets. This is why they stood together, you see. In your bulletin, I know I'm pressing you a little bit here. In your bulletin, on the back of the sheet with the prayer request, there are a couple of quotations from a couple of writers. One is a more contemporary professor, James McKinnon, and another is from John Lightfoot, who was a Westminster divine. The second paragraph is from John Lightfoot. And he did a great deal of study on the temple and the tabernacle from the Jewish literature. And this is a quotation from his collected writings, just a little snippet. You'll see in the middle of this quotation, it talks about the two priests. In the middle of the quotation, the two priests stood by Ben-Ezra, the Levite at the time. The one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the high priest stooped down then and poured out the drink offering. And what is Lightfoot telling us? He's just reflecting something that's in the text here. That the trumpets and the cymbals stood together. And here was the Levite standing at the east of the altar of burnt offering with the cymbals. The choir was behind him, and on his left and on his right, it would be this way for you, wouldn't it? On your left and on the right would be a trumpet. And that was apparently the configuration, with the Levite standing behind, the choir standing behind. And what did these trumpets and what did these cymbals symbolize? This is one of the things that we're interested in. Well, I hope you're interested in. We looked at the trumpets here a couple of weeks ago, or a little while ago, when we looked at Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. And at that time, I referred you to Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. Would you turn back there with me, please? To Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. Notice the connection the prophet Isaiah makes with regard to the trumpet. He says, "Cry loudly, do not hold back." Isaiah speaking, or God speaking to Isaiah, "Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet." The proclamation of the Word of God here is likened to the trumpet sound. And you recall, those of you who were here, that when we spoke about this, we said that week by week we come together to hear the broadcast, the trumpet sound of the gospel. The sounding forth of the gospel proclamation. And this is part of the regular worship of God. And this is what we are to do. And then there's another interesting reference in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. This is a quite familiar text in Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah 52:7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns. There's that gospel message again. Christ is Lord. Your God reigns. And the text says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet. How beautiful is the messenger, in other words. It's the idea. And the message going forth. Who announces peace. Who proclaims peace. Who sounds aloud peace. It's exactly the same word as in 1 Chronicles 16:5, where the chronicler speaks of the loud-sounding cymbals. It's exactly the same word. It's not only exactly the same word, it's exactly the same form of the same word. The announcing of the good news. The proclamation of the good news. Lift up your voice like the trumpet and sound forth the gospel, Isaiah. Announce peace and salvation and that God reigns. Sound loudly. And the connection, I think, is back in 1 Chronicles 16 with those loud-sounding cymbals that announce and proclaim. And that's the idea. There's something striking, it seems to me, that's going on in this worship. Because when the trumpets are sounded over the sacrifice, and to what does that sacrifice point? That sacrifice, you know, points to Jesus Christ. And those horns, we have said, point to the proclamation of the Word of God over the sacrifice and the symbol standing, it seems to me, with the trumpets symbolize the same, the proclamation of the Word over the sacrifice. And then what accompanies the sacrifice? What else is it that takes place? Look at verse 42 in 1 Chronicles 16. Well, it actually would be verse 41. And with them were Haman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord. When the sacrifice was given and the trumpets were sounded and the cymbals broadcast their announcement, what was the response? The Levitical choir began to lift their voices to God in praise. And there was that response in praise to God because of His coming to bless His people through that sacrifice which was presented upon the altar. And so you have, it seems to me, a very interesting triangle, if you will, that presents itself in this service. There was sacrifice on the altar. And there was proclamation. The proclamation of the trumpets and the cymbals. And then there was praise. Praise given to God through the Levitical choir. The sacrifice, the proclamation, and the praise. The sacrifice brought before God. The proclamation with regard to that sacrifice. And the praise lifted up to God in connection with that sacrifice. Is that not similar to what we do on a regular basis in the worship of God week by week? Is that not similar to what you do week by week in your service of worship? Let me remind you of this, if I may, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Would you turn there with me, please? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Some of you will remember our discussion of this text. But let's just review it quickly. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. What are you to do? As God's people, the Spirit of God enjoins you to let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. And so you are, week by week, day by day, you are to imbibe the Word of God, and it is to richly dwell within you. In other words, the riches of the Word of Christ are to come home to you, and to dwell, and to make their home within your heart. And how is this to come about? The Apostle Paul, some of you will recall, tells us how this comes about. Let's read Colossians 3:16 again. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. One way the word of Christ is to richly dwell within you is through the teaching and admonishing that takes place through the Word of God. That is, through the proclamation of the Word of God. That's one side of it. And what's the other side of it? Look at Colossians 3:16 again. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. How are you to allow or let the Word of Christ dwell within you richly? Through the teaching and admonishing that takes place, through the proclamation of the Word of God on one hand, and through singing on the other hand. Let the Word of Christ dwell within you richly, teaching and admonishing one another, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's the two sides again. And so what do we have? We have Christ, the great sacrifice, friends, presented to us in the gospel. And what are we to do with regard to that sacrifice presented to us in the gospel? Just let it sit there? No. You are to let the words with regard to that sacrifice come into your hearts And how are you to do that? Through the proclamation of the Word of God on one hand, and through your praise, through the praise of God on the other hand. And so we have that very same triangle that I spoke of earlier. In the temple, it was this, the sacrifice, the trumpets and cymbals, proclamation, and praise before the altar, the sacrifice. And then lo and behold, when you come to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, you have the similar construction. Let the word of Christ, the sacrifice, dwell within you richly. How? Through the proclamation of the Word of God and through the praise that you bring before God. And I tell you, friends, that if you truly let the Word of Christ dwell richly within you, through the proclamation of the Word of God and through your praise and singing before God, you are in the process of sanctification. And you're coming together, you see. You're coming together to worship God in the corporate setting, to contemplate Christ, to read His Word and to hear the proclamation of the Word, and to respond with your singing. This is what sanctification is about. And your corporate worship together, involving Jesus Christ, proclamation, and praise, is how you are brought into conformity to Christ. And your sanctification involves proclamation, praise, with regard to the sacrifice of Christ in your corporate worship. Now we've come full circle, you see. And that's the point I wanted you to get, and that I hope that you do get. And it's all symbolized in that temple and in the services. A part of it is, just a small part, the symbolism of the symbols. But you have to take all of those small pieces and put them together in order to build the house properly in the Old Testament. And it's the same way for you and me in the New Testament. You have to take all of the pieces and put them together to build the house of sanctification and of Christianity. We have this penchant to think individualistically because of our culture and our society. And we have the idea that the close encounters with Jesus Christ happen principally when we are one-on-one with our Bibles in our prayer closets, or one-on-one with a counselor. That's not the biblical model, actually. The biblical model has to do with the corporate assembly and the corporate worship of of God. And the psalmist goes so far as to say, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. In other words, He loves the assembly of God's people. And it's not that He doesn't love what you do in your individual homes, in family worship, and in private worship. But the special consideration, friends, is the public assembly. He does love the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And so in that Old Testament, that temple and the assembly of God's people there was a recognition of their sanctification, of their being set apart from the world. And there they brought the sacrifice. And there was the proclamation of the trumpet and the cymbal. And there was the praise of the Levitical choir. And it's the same for you and me today. Your sanctification, friends, is bound up in this corporate assembly. Your sanctification. And the proclamation of the Word of God. And the praise that you bring to God with regard to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. We are humbled by the prospect of what you teach us. We thank you that you are about the business of setting us apart from the world through Jesus Christ, not only our great high priest, but our sacrifice. And we thank you for your word set forth with regard to the sacrifice of Christ in Scripture and in preaching throughout the years, throughout the ages. And we thank you for the response of praise we are able to give to what you have been pleased to do. We pray that you'd continue this work, this good work of sanctification you've begun. And cause us to reflect on the fact that our sanctification is bound up in proclamation and praise with regard to Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. And all of this in our corporate worship. Bless us to this end, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.